Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
During this time when God's grace abounds, we have every opportunity to be trained by it. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." He warns us to stay steadfast in the Lord so that we won't be led astray or deceived by those who are untaught and unstable and twist the scriptures to their own destruction. So join in the conversation as we discover ways to remain steadfast and growing in grace. In order for growth to take place, Janie, we need a healthy diet of God's Word. But with so many platforms available, we have to be extra careful who we allow to feed us. Not everyone is feeding a healthy diet, but not everyone is purposefully feeding a watered-down meal. There are some who truly believe they are sharing the truth, but it's really twisted with their own standards.
Sharon, those standards are developed from our belief system, and our belief system starts in before we're out of diapers and progresses. And unless we have had the good pleasure and fortune of having a godly influence that can develop a belief system from a biblical worldview rather than just a standard from my own view of life, then we are going to be operating from standards. And unfortunately, the grace of God does not automatically erase that from our minds. That's why we are told to renew our minds and to be students and disciples, just not merely a listener.
Well, I have a question that just came to my head.
We just started, Sharon.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, Is standards more like our interpretation of the law and the way we should obey that law?
Yes, they start off as we have taught for many, many months and maybe even into the year, that our standards really begin with our thought processes. And with every thought process, there is an emotional response. Okay. And since we are in these temporal bodies, those emotional responses really speak much louder to us than our thought process where they begin.
Okay.
So we then get into the standard most of the time of judging life and others through our emotions and what we feel.
Okay.
And what we feel, let me add one more thing make it complete. You asked the question.
Okay.
So once we have our emotional standards going, then that becomes our final authority. And once that's our final authority, then girlfriend, I have the right to judge you in my mind, from my own standards, because they have become my law. And then I will put my law on you, even though I can't keep my own law. I'll put it back on you and expect you to keep my law. And now do you see where a little problem begins in our relationships because of our standards from our belief system?
Okay.
And how
that makes sense.
Does it good?
Yeah. Yeah. Because then that goes back to why the Pharisees put 600 and some laws onto
the
Ten Commandments, and then they couldn't keep those either. So, but they pointed the finger at others that they should keep them, and we're just as guilty.
And I like the one liner: "What the law demanded, the law denied," because it demanded a standard that it could not keep, so it denied it, and that's what set us up for our need of a Savior. So I always want people to remember, as we talk and we have said before, the law is a beautiful thing. The law is God-given. He doesn't give junk. But if we misapply anything that He gives us, it can be in vain. It can wind up being worthless for our growth and giving Him the glory that He deserves.
Right.
So when we open up today, I'm going to just bring things down to a couple of very simple categories, Sharon. And there's two classes of people on earth: those that are going to heaven and those that are going to hell. Everybody's going to fall into one of those two classes. There's no third class. There's no subway station that's going to take you out off that road. You're either hellbound or heavenbound. And that is one of the reasons that we're on air, praise God, is that hopefully we can influence, that we can influence which path people want to take. Okay? Now, for those that are going to heaven, then there are two subclasses. There are those that are going to heaven by the grace of God because they have trusted in Him in simplicity for the door of salvation to be open, and they still can operate most of their life in their natural man or continue to operate in their own standards that we discussed in depth last week. Or they can search the scriptures, wait on the Holy Spirit, and find out what their calling is. We talked about those words in Ephesians 1, election, predestined, chosen, adopted, all relating to our destiny throughout eternity on how the Lord has called us to live for Him in whatever role that He has designated for the church. And there's some glorious things about what we've been called to. In fact, we probably have the highest standard that the Lord has privileged any of His created beings to live in, if we will realize that we are now supposed to be living as heavenly creatures. There's no mysticism with that. We'll get into it. But you can either live in your own strength and your natural thinking, or you can live as the heavenly person has been designated and equipped to do.
Okay.
But say back to me, Sharon, what I've just said. Capsulize.
Oh my goodness.
Give the simplified version. I've now given the Webster's expanded version. So just kind of summarize.
Well,
were you listening?
I was. I was listening. So basically you told us that we are either on the subway to heaven or the subway to hell, and that if we are on the subway to heaven, we can be in the subcar where the riches of His grace are flowing freely, or we can be sitting back in a subcar with our face to the wall and not recognize that the riches of God's grace is flowing.
That's right. And that we really do not have to live under the standards of our own deceptive thinking and unbelief, but we can live victorious when the Lord says that we are more than conquerors and that we've been given victory. We look at our lives and think, do I need to question the scriptures here? I don't see how that is a reality. That's where the walk by faith comes in. But what I want to do with you today is to have a little fun. Let's just stop and just say, hey, we are like Paul. We have not attained, but we are choosing to leave what is behind and move forward to the prize of that high calling. But in doing so, we need to also recognize where we could still be learning, as Paul said that he was. So I want to ask you something.
Okay.
And then you can ask me. All right.
Okay.
Would God be more pleased with you if you, and then complete that sentence. God would be more pleased with Sharon if she would
be more obedient.
Okay. All right. Next question. I feel God is disappointed with me when I
constantly fail.
All right. And the third one's a charm. The one thing I would change about myself is
Confidence.
The lack of or too much?
Well, I wonder if you could get that from the first two. The first two questions.
All right.
I would say lack of.
Okay. All right. So you still could be growing in your need to be confident in the Lord, that you would like to improve upon your pattern of failure. And that you believe the Lord would like you better if you would obey more to His standard. Have I heard you correctly?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I mean, that's something that I hear a lot.
Oh, I do too.
That's something I hear a lot.
Yes, yes, yes.
That I'm a failure. I'm worthless. God told me to do this, and it took me forever to even obey. And
yeah.
And there's just, you can hear the lack of confidence.
And you're on the merry-go-round.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've thought about how I would answer those questions. And I would say God would be more pleased with me if I could understand His word better and not mess up on maybe coming to the wrong conclusions. The one thing I feel like God is disappointed with me is when I am perhaps too dramatic in my presentation, drawing attention to myself when I really don't want to or mean, but it could be a weakness in my own personality, a carryover from the way I used to mm-hmm. live. Mm-hmm. And then the one thing I would change about myself is my memory failure. And the only comfort I get in that is I have people 20 and 30 years younger having the same problem.
Yeah.
So I realize that it is something, though, that we need to look at and understand that our answers have indicated where we are not accepting our total acceptance and approval from God, to where we are judging really our own selves from our own standard. And Colossians 1:21 is a verse that brings some comfort to me with this dilemma, because I believe everybody battles in some standard of their own with the three questions that we just asked. They may have had different answers, but they're still thinking, is God pleased with me? Is God disappointed with me? And what would I change about myself? Mm-hmm. But Colossians 1:21 says, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked work, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. Now, boy, you can take a deep breath with that and realize that, yeah, we were alienated, and it was in our mind. The battle is in our mind. Mm-hmm. And that our mind was blinded because of our own wicked works, our own standard, our own legalism, our own incorrect interpretation of the scriptures and our choices. But now He has reconciled, and I'm going to give a little drama to that word. It is in the past tense, reconciled.
Okay.
Past tense. In the body of His flesh through death, there is the cross described.
Right.
So the reconciliation took place in the death of Jesus Christ, confirmed to us by the resurrection, and then guaranteed to us by His ascension, which most people don't even understand ascension theology. But that's when He ascended back to His home to do the next phase in preparing for us a place that He said He would then come and get us and take us unto Him.
Right.
And through that process, He now presents us holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. Mm-hmm. So all of these things that you and I have just mentioned as our focal points of failure, He said, wait a minute, girls, are you denying the finished work of the cross? Mm-hmm. Now, that's not that we're not negating growing in grace and knowledge, but as far as it weighing us down with negative emotions, negative thoughts, then we need to cleanse our hearts each day and say, I've got to go back and see what You have said, Lord. And You said that I am being now seen through Your finished work at the cross.
That I'm not worthless.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That I am valuable.
Yes.
And so those are things I think a lot of women deal with.
Well, yes. And if they don't have a good marriage or a good relationship, or they're divorced or they're widowed, that it even may be intensified. Mm-hmm. If they had a poor relationship with their father, where they get their image of what Father God is like, then they could be living under constant guilt of non-approval that is really carried over from their thinking and their standards they developed as they were growing up.
And so they end up really working and doing and working toward that approval of the Lord. And he says right here that He has, that you are approved.
That's right. Well, and you know, the double T's that we have talked about here, we go from trying, which is our self-effort, to trusting, which is Him doing it through us, and we allow that. And let's just give a scriptural passage for that. In Hebrews 3 and 4, those are what I call the trying and trusting chapters, and we won't take time to get into it today, but if you want to see the process and the consequences of staying in trying and not going into trusting, there's consequences. There's a loss for us. But then to see the joy of entering into His rest, which is basically going from trying to trusting, is in Hebrews 3 and 4, where we can get a good handle on it.
Now, is that chapter 3 and chapter 4?
Yes.
Not chapter 3, verse 4.
No, that's all of chapter 3, which really pertains to the Israelites. And then chapter 4 says, now, church, body of Christ, look at these guys over in chapter 3 and see how they handled it, and make sure you don't do the same thing.
Right. Don't repeat history.
Don't repeat the fact that they didn't enter into my rest, because I've given you the same freedom. All right? And then if you tootle over a little bit further, he has the faith chapter to show how they chose to not walk after the natural, but to seek a home that they knew was beyond their timeline, and to seek something forward, which is the heavenly man that was to be birthed in the church and through the cross and through the ministry that Paul was given. So, again, studying the scriptures to be more than just a disciple, but to be a learner that has a testimony. Do you realize how many Christians that we may have that are actually saved and desiring to be a disciple or a learner, but never go forth with a testimony to declare what has been done? Because, oh, well, I don't have those kind of gifts, or I can't speak. And
I've even heard women say that they don't have a very elaborate testimony where some miracle happened. They hear these women speak about how God miraculously saved them out of some big thing, and then they look at their own testimony and they think, well, I don't have a testimony like that, so I don't really have much to say.
That's right.
And that's just not true.
That's true, because here are two of us that don't have any mighty giants. We have just been faithful in our failures to learn how to go from trying to trusting. We are learning how to go from the natural person working from their standards to the heavenly woman, that we have already been given the riches of His grace. And that's why we keep pursuing that phrase, and the riches of His goodness. But you know, Sharon, in Colossians 3, I don't know if you've got that, but there are some steps, practical steps, on how we can change our thinking so that we can maybe fill out these questions that we were asked earlier with a different answer. So why don't we go to Colossians 3.
And start at 23?
No, let's see. Let's start in verse 12.
Oh, you're backing
up.
Yeah,
I'm backing up.
Beep, beep, beep.
Okay. So now we're looking for practical applications that our mind can gravitate and hang on to, so that we can move from the natural thinking to the supernatural thinking, which is the natural thinking of a heavenly person.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
So would you like to read verse 12?
I will read verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light.
Are you in Colossians 3:12?
Oh, maybe not. Well, you were backing up. I was in 1:12.
Okay, well, that was a good
verse.
Well,
you were running forward at lightning speed.
All right. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. I just didn't
understand. It just goes to show you how difficult communication can be, even through two people who are really trusting.
Okay.
Okay, so let's go with second
3:12.
Time. Colossians 3:12.
Okay. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering.
Okay, in that verse 12, It talks about we who are the elect of God, and then a comma, and then holy and beloved. And let's don't ever forget that beloved means I love you so much that I cannot do without you. And that's God the Father declaring in his sovereignty and his power, he has chosen to call us beloved. And that should make your day, even when other things are not. But then the other thing, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. You know, that's the better part of the fruit of the Spirit. So there he's exhorting us to learn how to walk by the Spirit, and this will be some of the evidence. Then why don't you go ahead and continue on with 13.
Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you.
So, Sharon, did Christ forgive us 50% or 10% or 80%? How much did Christ forgive us?
100%.
And how do we know?
Because he said so.
That's a good answer. And you know what? The words that we have from his mouth are three words that give us that assurance. And it's the last three words that he said on the cross when he said, "It is finished." What he came to do, to forgive us of our sins, one time forever, past, present, and future, he completed it at the cross. And he says his word is true. And then he said, "It is finished." And then 3 days later, he arose from the grave to activate, if we want to use our current terminology of computers or whatever, mm-hmm. he activated or had it activated by the Father on what he did at the cross. And then 40 days later, when he ascended into heaven, then he started the on button by sending the Holy Spirit to now get us to moving into the program of what it is to be a heavenly minded woman. Isn't that neat?
That is very neat.
But don't stop there. Okay. Go to verse 14.
And above all things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfection. Mine says charity, but I know
it does say love, but that, as long as we know it's agape, long as we know that it's agape, okay? And it says, which is the bond of perfection, and that perfection really has to do with maturity. Now, I don't want to stop here. I want to get down to at least verse 17,
so we'll just keep going.
All right, okay.
And let the God of peace rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful.
Wow. All right. So part of moving from the natural to the heavenly is a spirit of thanksgiving and letting peace of God rule. Another place he says, pursue peace mm-hmm. as you can within you. Keep peace. Seek peace. Lots of commands about how we are to live in the peace that has been given to us.
And now he's saying, let it rule your life.
That's right.
Rule in your hearts.
And can you imagine how the doctor bills would go down if the peace went up?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, then let's move along. So 16.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Well, and Sharon, I don't know that we'll ever do a duo in a song here, but you know what? A lot of times when we visit like we are giving spiritual songs one to another. Mm-hmm. And then finish up with verse 17.
And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
So whatever we do in word or deed, we have one focus. It is to do it unto the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings it down to fairly simple, something that is so mysterious on growing in grace and knowledge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Out of 5 or 6 verses, and we've got other like passages, but just this one lets us move forward.
Well, that is definitely a place for us to start, but that is all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.